Hello there, everyone. This is Ray Higdon at rayhigdon.com, and I am excited. You know that I bring you the very best of the best when it comes to interviews with motivational, inspirational, impact-making people. Today is no exception. Today I have the New York Times best-selling author, just a social media maniac, a powerful speaker, one that I saw at InfusionCon last year, and a guy that I'm just so excited to interview, my man, Chris Brogan. Chris, can you hear me?
I can, Ray. Glad to see you here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And I know you're busy traveling the world and doing your thing. And just so you know, you may not know this, but you introduced me to the concept of dubstep.
Oh, no kidding.
I don't know how many people have told you that, but I went to InfusionCon with Thomas actually on the line here too. And I'm like, what the hell is dubstep? And so I had to Google it, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty sweet. So thank you.
You know, your life would have been okay without it, but I'm glad that you now know what it is.
I beg to differ. So I wanted to share real quick, because I like getting feedback when I do speaking events and different things. I wanted to give you some feedback on just a couple things that I got out of your talk at InfusionCon, which was awesome. And then I'll hit you with a couple questions here. Number one, you suggested How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis. Dude, that is an awesome book. That was really good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that book. It's funny, I was just, I had it in my hand this morning. I was thinking, I think I'll reread this. I haven't read it lately.
Oh, man. That book, and there was one other. You mentioned Millionaire Maker. I haven't read that one yet. I did buy it. But How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis. If you're listening to this and you haven't read it, got to read it. Just awesome. Loved it. You also helped me improve my focus on Google Plus because I wasn't doing a lot there. I also eliminated all of my links on my blog back to my social media sites because I thought that made a lot of sense. Those that may not have heard the talk, you made a point, and I've never heard anyone say this, but it makes total sense. You said, hey, why would you have connect with me all over your blog and all your social media icons when they're where you want them to be, which is on your blog? So that made sense to me. I've never heard anyone else say it, so they were gone. What else did I get from you? You talked about making frequently asked questions on videos. I thought that was really powerful. And you also led me to change up my blog so that it was mobile-friendly, because it definitely was not. So for all of those things, just want to thank you from last year's InfusionCon.
You're welcome from last year.
All right. Yeah. And so a couple questions for you. And, you know, this come from a few different people. I kind of shared, you know, that I was going to be talking to you, and they said, ooh, ask them this. And so I got a few questions for you. Number one, what out of being a New York Times bestselling author, out of being just a very followed person. I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have over 230,000 followers on Twitter. And from being a speaker, which of those have given you the most joy? What have you gotten the most benefit, not necessarily monetarily, but I don't know, spiritually, mentally, whatever? Which of those categories would you say, man, that is really awesome?
You know, I'd say speaking, hands down. I would say that speaking has given me the best opportunities because there's just so much opportunity for interaction and interplay. You know, when I write and when it's a book or something, you get to enjoy that at your house. But it's not like, you know, you can't read a sentence and I'll know that you looked up and said, yeah, I get that. You know, so if I'm speaking
right,
and I watch your head nod, or if I say a line and all of a sudden I see everybody's head run down to their notebook and, you know, start to write their note down, then I know that I'm getting something through and that you're finding a value in it. If you do that at home with a book, then I can't know that. So that one's not as fun. And being followed by a lot of people isn't really exactly a big shake. I mean, I've been on Twitter since 2006. So the only thing that tells you is that I don't annoy people too often too much so that they don't just quit and leave
you.
So that's all I got going for me there. One fellow last night thought he was going to leave me. And then you know, I kind of made a joke back with him, and he said, I had no idea you'd ever respond to somebody. And I respond to people as often as I can on there. And so he said, oh, forget it. I'm not going to, you know, unfollow you now. And I said, well, that's not fair. I didn't know that was, if I'd known you'd just unfollow me if I didn't reply, I wouldn't have replied.
Exactly.
You know, so that's no big shake.
Yeah,
to that's followed by a lot of people.
That's interesting. So are you a natural speaker? I mean, did you just hit the stage roaring, and or you've always been doing this your whole life, or how did that happen?
You know, when I was a little kid, I went to a kids variety show kind of a thing, and everybody else, you know, juggled or played an instrument or something like that. And I tried to tell stand up, and it was awful. I was absolutely terrible. But people were so polite and kind and laughed, and I thought, man, this is great. So, I mean, I guess I've had it in me for a long time to want to do it. And when I worked in wireless telecom and also landline telecom, a lot of times I would be the one called on to give presentations to big organizations. And the reason was I could say things in a way that the CEO could understand it, nod his head, and all like the Unix guys in their suspenders could learn about it and nod their head. And so,
right.
You know, it was,
wow.
It was that magic trick of being able to get everybody in the room using the same analogies that made me realize that there might be some magic in my old silk hat.
Wow, that's powerful. Very, very cool. So let me twist a little bit. A lot of people that, you know, follow blogs and you know, follow different social media people, they really want to know, it's almost like they know what attracts them, but they don't know how to attract others. What are some suggestions that you have for someone that's listening to this and they're wanting to attract more people to whatever niche they're focused on? How can they do that through social media? Do you have any tips there?
Well, first off, what I tell people is never think about the tools. I mean, if you and I are having this conversation, you said to me, how do you make the phone a better part of your business? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's a tool to get you there. You know, it's no one asked Hemingway what kind of pencils he used or what kind of typewriter he wrote on. You know, and he wouldn't. He would just write on a napkin if he had to, or he'd write on the back of a person. You know, it just whatever was nearby. And so the same is true. Use the tools that let you tell the story the way you want to tell it. If you've got a very visual kind of story, you know, if you run a law firm, you probably don't want to take photos all day of people in, you know, suits looking at books. If you, you know,
right.
are doing like landscaping, well, then you've got a great project. You know, you can show the before and after all day long. You can show little 6-second Vine videos, whatever. Use the medium that's going to match what you're trying to get done. Video is really powerful because people are very visual, but don't overdo it because people don't have the time to sit around and watch your videos, and they sometimes can read a little blurb of text better. The only other thing to say is remember that we are now in a mobile-first world. Nobody who's paying attention to us right now, Ray, no one has their tower PC right beside their bed next to their pillow just in case they have to check something when they wake up. We all have
right.
our phone right within our arm's reach at all times.
So I read an article where you're talking about content creating, and you kind of talked about, hey, if you're, you know, in a picture-friendly kind of model or niche, use Instagram and things like that. So that does make a lot of sense. Do you propose people mix in personality versus training and teaching or things like that, business and pleasure? How do you propose people mix that in?
I can think of no business where I wouldn't want to know a little bit about the personal you. I mean, people say it all the time. Well, you know, I'm a MD. I'm like, yeah, if I'm going to trust you to stab me in the belly while I'm asleep, I'd probably want to know that you seem like a nice guy. You know, so
right.
there's pretty much no circumstance where I don't want somebody, you know, to share something personal. Now, the one problem is a lot of times people will share the weirdest stuff. And so to me, there's like this Perez Hilton hot mess line. If you want to share that, you know, you had a bad day, that's fine. If you want to trash your clients, you're probably going to have a hard time picking up more clients because they're going to know you're the kind
right.
of person this mean stuff about them. I find also the one part of people's personality I wish they'd leave home is when they try to trash their competitors because, you know, first
right.
off, there's no buyer that wants to see that fight. There's no one sitting there going, you know, I was thinking between Ray and Chris, but, you know, Ray said a lot of mean things about Chris, so he must be better. You know, like there's,
right.
there's no math that works that way. There's no math that makes you think the one guy says something mean, so you're going to go with the other guy. Unless it's just like, you know, huge, indisputable kind of fact. You know what I mean? If it's, you know, your product gets returned 90% of the time and my product gets used and praised 90% of the time, I guess you could sort of crow on that. But in my mind, a real positive win is just equipping the buyer for success. Make them the hero, and then you don't go wrong. But when you share your personal stuff, share stuff that people might get into. I mean, I do it all the time, and I find that, you know, someone might ask me, hey, how's that juice fast thing going, or what's going on with, you know, we're, I haven't seen your Camaro in any of your pictures lately, and I have to explain that we have winter in New England, and that's not that a good a plan to drive one. You know, so that's that, right?
Right.
I think that there's a lot you can share.
That's powerful. Good stuff. Yeah, so even when talking about facts and things like that, I mean, you still got to kind of tread lightly there. You know, I agree with you 100%. The whole this person's bad and pick me, it just doesn't make any sense. Powerful. So for people out there, like I'm about to put a book on Kindle, and I'm just learning my way. I'm learning from people like you, learning from people like Tim Ferriss and some of these other guys. If someone's listening to this and they've been considering writing a book, do you have any suggestions for them in that regard? Maybe as far as the writing, but also as far as the promoting, anything there?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, first off, I just launched a course called Write Your Book Already, because I think there's a lot of people out there. Yeah, well, because there's a lot of people out there that have that book idea that they've been thinking about doing forever and ever, and they have a lot of excuses.
Sure.
Why not? So I came up with a 16-week course that explains all the reasons why instead of why not, and that gives you interviews with publishers and authors and all that kind of stuff, so you have a real sense of what you want to do and if you can go mainstream or self-publish or whatever you want and why and what are the decisions and all the tools. And the reason I did that, again, is just because I just think so many people have an excuse why not. And Jacqueline and I, my girlfriend, we've worked really hard on this concept of building excuse removal systems. So as often as I can, I'm looking for ways to implement that. So Write Your Book Already. In there, my
like
advice is, you know, find yourself some time. Find 20 minutes here and there. It's called time quilting. Because everyone says, I don't have enough time to write. And I say, that's bull. Two is, you know, if you're working on structuring stuff, how do you get it all structured and how do you work on your discipline? So I give all kinds of advice on that. And so, you know, that's one thing to look for, because I find that, you know, I was looking around at writing courses online for nonfiction books and like at community colleges, and they're charging like $2,500, $2,100. And the person who's giving the course is somebody who got a couple of stories put into a literary magazine when they were in college themselves. And I figure you can learn from that guy, $2,100, or you can learn from me at like $500 or so, and I'm a New York Times bestseller who's published 5 books. So I don't know. I think I have a shot at winning on that one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I saw the same thing in speaking. And, you know, I wasn't a natural speaker. I was very, very nervous. And so I studied, I read all these different books, and it seemed like, and it sounds like it's kind of similar, is people were creating these speaking books just to say they were published so they would get speaking gigs. And so it sounds kind of similar. That's powerful, man. What about like today's modern era book promotion and marketing? Any tips there?
Well, it's definitely harder than it's ever been. I mean, a lot of times what people do wrong with mainstream promotion is they presume that the publisher is going to get them all their readers, and that just doesn't happen. I mean, publishers working on lots of books at a time, and unless your book got a huge advance, there's not even any monetary reason for them to try. It's up to you to market it. So a lot of what I did with trust agents, and then again with my fourth book, I did a little with my third one too, is I had people, you know, I had deals. So buy this and get this kind of a thing, or buy a couple of these and we'll give you, you know, free access to that. And those kinds of deals work. The other is, you know, really start trying to get out there on the circuit and connect with people. So when, you know, my book Impact Equation came out in October, I mean, I just said yes to pretty much every podcast and interview that came along. And, you know, it made a little difference. It didn't really exactly move the needle. The real truth is this. If you want to work on promotions, the best thing to work on is finding reasons why people would want to buy 100, 200, 300 or so at a time. And because you're not going to move the needle just convincing people one at a time.
Right. That's powerful, man. That's some good tips there. Well, really appreciate you jumping on here. I won't keep you all day, although I could talk to you for 8 hours straight. Just awesome. I mean, I see you as just one of the ultimate communicators. I mean, you know how to communicate with your audience via stage, via book, via social media, online, et cetera. That's just powerful, something that I hope any marketer out there that's listening to this, you know, strives to be. And so I appreciate your time. One last question. What, any predictions, any kind of big things that either you're excited about or upcoming things or anything in 2013 that you think is going to just rock the socks off people? Either yours or someone else's or technology, social media, whatever.
Wow. Make it small for me here. I would say this. I would say this. The one thing to really pay attention to is mobile first. So everything is designed and turned around to be mobile first these days. And it's just not, you know, there's no one out there that can fight me on this and say, well, my buyers just aren't using their mobile device. I mean, it's just not true. I mean, there's more than one smartphone per human in the U.S. right now. And, you know, the adoption's really high. And so it's just crazy, you know, over 1 billion Facebook users and all that, there a lot of that traffic is coming mobile first. So if your site isn't mobile first, if you haven't worked on making what's called a mobile responsive theme for your site, that's the one thing you got to get on. It doesn't cost a whole lot of money. I mean, you could buy some, you know, premium themes. I work with Genesis, which is a studio press. Those themes are like $90 or something. So, you know, for just under $100, you can make the experience for someone to look at your site on their phone to be far less annoying than it is at present. I'll just challenge anybody, you know, getting this at Ray's site to look at your website through your mobile phone while we're talking right now and tell me if you think that's a good experience. And if not, get on that.
I hope it is. It's better than it was.
No, your site's pretty.
That's
I just meant everybody else listening.
Oh, good.
Okay,
cool.
Their site. No, yours is good.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if it's mobile responsive. I haven't checked that, but kind of looks it.
Yeah, we. I don't know 100%, but it's definitely better than it was. And we're about to switch it up a little bit here too, doing some little bit better branding and different things. But definitely appreciate that and something to always look out for. Someone asked me to ask you, last question, I promise, about the your Google Plus community. I don't even know what he's necessarily referring to, but apparently you have a pretty good Google Plus community.
Well, so I got a bunch over there. Some of them are for the courses that I sell, but the one he might be talking to is the I have a free community for health. And to get there, it's really easy. You just go to HBWay, like humanbusinessway.com/health, and that gets you right there. And that community is, there's about 400 people or so at the time you and I are talking, and we're all just talking about various elements of health and nutrition and fitness and just people sharing lots of good resources and stuff like that. So I'll tell you, it looks pretty good, and it's just something where I figured we could get some people to, you know, work on their general fitness and stuff. And so that's kind of, it's exciting for me just to be able to give in that way.
Very cool. Well, Chris, I definitely appreciate you. And, guys, if you want more awesome advice and training and fun stuff, too, you have a lot of fun stuff on your blog, chrisbrogan.com. Make sure you connect with him on Twitter as well. Appreciate you, my man. And, hey, hopefully I'll see you at an event here soon.
Sounds great, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys, it's been Ray Higdon with rayhigdon.com. Check this out. We will post this on my blog. You can check it out, download it, listen to it many times. There's a lot of tidbits and information in this MP3. Hope you enjoy it. Bye, guys.